Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Merciful, the Compassionate. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 13th weekly episode of the series Land of Light. We pick up from where we left you last week concerning the account of the childhood years of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Hopefully, his life would become a role model for us. If you recall, we related to you some of the outstanding incidents from his boyhood. We said that his wet nurse Halime and her husband Harith finally returned him to his mother Amene and to his paternal grandfather Abdul Muttalib, who now assumed guardianship of the future prophet. His widowed mother's health was also deteriorating because of her constant remembrance of her late husband, Abdullah. Now, let's listen to the rest of the story. Little Muhammad maintained a close bond with his paternal grandfather Abdul Muttalib. Every day at dusk, he would accompany Abdul Muttalib to the Holy Kaaba. Meanwhile, news came from Yemen of the decision of Saif to crown himself king after ending the Abyssinian occupation. Saif, who was a descendant of the former kings of Yemen, had sent invitations to the various tribal leaders of Arabia to attend his coronation. Abdul Muttalib, in the company of several elders of the Quraysh tribe, set out for Yemen to attend the ceremonies and to congratulate the Yemeni king. Amina says,
"My little son was very much attached to me, but he also liked his wet nurse Halima, her children, and the desert. It was perfectly clear that after some 4 years of residing with the Bani Sa'd tribe, he still longed for the open air of the desert rather than adapt himself to the constraints of city life. As long as Abdul Muttalib was in town, the little grandson didn't feel bored, but in the absence of his grandfather, he started asking me the location of the tomb of his father, Abdullah. When I told him that his father was laid to rest in the Dar al-Nabaqi cemetery in Yathrib, he asked me to take him there. I was still in deep grief for my late husband, and I decided to take my orphaned son to Yathrib along with the maidservant Baraka so that little Muhammad would be able to meet his maternal uncle and cousins, and I would be able to unburden my grief beside the grave of Abdullah. We looked for a caravan destined for Yathrib. When the date of departure was fixed, we performed circumambulation of the Holy Kaaba before joining the caravan. On the 10th day of our journey, we finally sighted Yathrib from a distance."
Baraka says,
My lady Amene had a number of relatives in Yathrib. She had visited this city twice in the past and had recited prayers on her husband's grave in the vicinity of this city. However, this was Muhammad's first visit. It was the springtime and the weather was mild. The surprising fact was that the boy Muhammad seemed to be shaded by a cloud wherever he walked outdoors during the day, and this meant we never saw his shadow falling on the ground.
Muhammad was sitting next to his mother in the canopy atop the camel when he heard voices of joy. He lifted the curtain and looked outside. His co-travelers were joyous, congratulating each other. Muhammad looked around to find the reason behind their cheerfulness. He saw Baraka. She was mounted on a camel nearby, and upon realizing Muhammad's sense of curiosity, informed him that they were close to the city of Yathrib. Muhammad looked ahead. A greenish region surrounded by two mountain ranges came into sight. Amina says,
Muhammad, the mountain range on the right is named Suair, and the mountain range on the left is Uhud, while green oasis you see is Yathrib.
Muhammad said the greenery appearing at a distance must be the palm groves of Yathrib.
Yes, my son, this is the case. Yathrib has more water sources and has a milder climate compared to Mecca. Meanwhile, even the camels had realized that they were reaching the end of this difficult journey and could soon take a rest. So, with their own peculiar sounds of happiness, they increased their pace.
The homes of Yathrib, which were made of mud and straw, and which had domes, could be spotted in the midst of palm trees, while the sound of roosters could be heard. There was the city of Yathrib and its dusty streets exposed to springtime breeze. The travelers were happy at the mild climate and no longer harnessed the camels while heading for the city's marketplace. The opportunity of resting in that mild weather and among the kind-hearted residents of Yathrib after their 10-day difficult journey heartened the members of the caravan.
At noon, we stayed at the Bani Najjar castle in Yathrib. The relatives of Abdul Muttalib were happy to see me and young Muhammad and invited us in. We rested for a while and washed our faces while later heading for Abdullah's cemetery, which was nearby.
Darun Nabiqa cemetery was located next to a small farm and a palm grove on the margins of the city in a state of tranquility. In the middle of the cemetery was the grave of Abdullah, covered with weeds and lilies. In that particular hour of the day, everyone had gone out to the farms, the orchards, or the market. The cemetery rested in silence, which was broken every now and then with the tweets of sparrows and nightingales. Amene had only allowed one of the young cousins of Muhammad to accompany them in this visit, to show them the way to the cemetery.
Rest in peace, Abdullah. After all those hardships, you have been laid to rest. Your tranquility can no longer be disturbed by any storm. Hardship and illness no longer lurk on you. Wasn't it a pity that you were laid to rest at such a young age?
Amene didn't know how she gained the needed energy to visit her late beloved husband's grave. Upon coming to her senses, she saw herself kneeling on her husband's grave, scratching the mud next to his gravestone. Amene had
unintentionally revisited her past. She remembered how lucky she felt during her wedding. She had married the most righteous and handsome man of Mecca, whom others longed to marry. Amene had captivated Abdullah's heart. She also was merited for this emotional bond. She was one of the best and virtuous girls of Mecca. She was chaste and kind-hearted. Although she had never mentioned it, marriage with Abdullah initially seemed like a far-fetched aspiration for her. Many of the girls of Mecca longed for him and were ready to give up everything in order to marry him. Meanwhile, Amene had neither accumulated any wealth, nor she knew the deceitful ways of other girls of Mecca. She was so virtuous that she didn't look for any way to attract the attention of Abdullah.
What happened that made me succeed from among all those girls of Mecca? All I had at the time was patience and self-restraint. I hadn't even informed my mother about my heartfelt wish.
No matter what she did, she could not digest her felicity. At times, she even thought that this could be nothing but a dream. She wondered whether this happiness could last and would she always have Abdullah? Now, Amene, who was kneeling beside Abdullah's grave, remembered that she could not bear even to imagine the loss of Abdullah. Baraka said,
"My lady, isn't it better to allow Muhammad to return to the castle in the company of his cousin? I don't mean to be rude, but I think it is better that Muhammad owe not to witness your deep sorrow."
"You are right. He's better off returning to the castle. Maybe his small heart would not be able to bear this sorrow."
Upon the departure of the two children, silence once again governed the cemetery. Amene was in deep grief at visiting her husband's grave.
"Abdullah, I am aware of what you are going through in your solitude. I have sensed solitude myself. If you knew what I went through when you were on your visit to Levant."
The memory of Abdullah's journey and his absence flashed across Amene's memory.
"I felt bitter because of your absence. It seemed that Mecca had turned into the city of the dead. The city no longer felt as my hometown. I felt homesick. It seemed that no one missed or awaited me in the city. Meanwhile, my mother came to visit me several times. Your father also came to see me whenever he was in town. But no one could fill your empty space and console my broken heart. Whenever I wanted to drink a glass of cold water, I imagined you in that dry desert, drinking nothing but warm water. If I only knew your fate."
Dear listeners, many thanks for being with us. Don't forget to tune in next week. Until then, God bless you and goodbye.